You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Atamariye, good morning. Kohana Ross Tokuingwa, welcome to this week's bits. This week, we looked into the worsening situation in Manus Island and also the raising awareness about HIV and AIDS. First up, Sam Smith spoke to commentator Tracy Barnett about the situation as it stands in Manus Island. Many are calling the situation a humanitarian crisis, with detainees locking themselves in the centre, refusing to leave, while food and medicine are being denied to them by authorities. The UN and other international NGOs are shocked at the treatment of the detainees by the Australian government. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has offered to take 150 of the detainees, but the Australian government has turned the offer down.
How bad is the situation in the detention centre?
It's acute to the extreme. What's happened just last week is authorities came in and they punctured holes in the water tanks. And they also, the detainees had been taking big garbage cans, cleaned them out, and had been catching rainwater in the garbage cans. They've then put holes in those as well. They're doing everything they can to force these men to move. And remember, when the camps were first closed at the end of October, the detainees were given 1 month's worth of medicines. We have diabetics there. There are people who are suffering from heart conditions, as well as many other different conditions, and those medicines will be running out very shortly as well.
Some senior UN officials have also said that they've never seen a wealthy democracy go to such extremes to punish asylum seekers. Is this one of the worst cases that you've seen?
I can say that the highest echelons in the NGO and official channels have told me off the record they have never seen such systematic, institutionalized abuse to break these men. And it is something that will surely go down as one of the worst and most shameful chapters in Australia's inhumane treatment of boat arrivals.
Yes, it's interesting because Australia seems to have a long history of treating refugees and asylum seekers with absolute disdain, don't they?
They have a strange mix of accepting people from... They have a strange mix. They take four times more per capita of refugees than New Zealand does. So when they go through the UN channels, they are a fairly decent broker on the world stage. However, they also are signatories to the 1951 Refugee Conventions, which says that anybody who arrives, no matter by what means, has the right to claim asylum. And when that happens, suddenly Australia turns into abusers of every right of humanity.
All right, well, just finally, what do you want to see happen now to resolve the situation?
I think time will tell, unfortunately, and the men will have to either survive in the next 4 or 5 months while the UN tries to intervene, while the U.S. tries to vet, and while the Australians continue to stall. And they will be the ones who will have to decide whether they can survive through this. I also think that our Prime Minister should time things carefully, and that if we find that the Australians continue to stall, that their conditions continue to deteriorate, we should then consider seriously acting directly through PNG. Remember that people like Peter Dutton and people like Malcolm Turnbull and every other prime minister since John Howard has used scaremongering about boat arrivals when their poll numbers have gone down. And just last week we saw Malcolm Turnbull's preferred prime minister standing go down to 36%. He is using this to make him look like a strong candidate, as has every prime minister in the last couple of decades since Howard. And unfortunately, it is on these men's backs that this public persona is being pushed.
The Green Party have been very vocal about the Manus Island situation in the past. But when Joel Thomas spoke to Green Party leader James Shaw last week, he explained they are currently refusing to comment anymore.
Can you tell me why Green has abstained from commenting on Manus Island?
Just because the... Well, first of all, for me, I've only literally just made it back yesterday and, you know, haven't fully had time to get the latest developments. But actually, there is a pretty strong diplomatic effort that's been led by the Prime Minister's office, and so it's more appropriate that Prime Minister would be leading commentary on it.
But that hasn't stopped you guys from commenting on it before, and part of what you guys have quite often said to me is that one of the main benefits of being in a supply and supply and confidence agreement is that you can criticise Labor Party and stand outside of that.
Yeah, and we have over the course of the last few weeks. I guess we're just aware that the government is making a pretty concerted diplomatic effort at the moment, and we want to make sure that that has every opportunity to succeed.
So you don't think the Green Party can contribute to that?
Well, the diplomatic effort is being led by the Prime Minister, and so it is appropriate that she's the one that comments on the nature of that.
Awareness of HIV has been on the decline in the last few years, despite the numbers of cases actually being on the rise. One woman who is seeking to change that is Lynn Pitched, who is hosting a series of events across Auckland in a bid to raise awareness again. Lucy spoke with Lynn Pitch about the campaign and started by asking why they felt the issue was so important.
I've got an amazing invested interest because I've been HIV positive for 25 years now, and I'm a heterosexual. I'm a mother of two children and married to a Kiwi, live in Grey Lynn, Auckland. Unfortunately, I got HIV through a tattoo in Portobello Road in London, so I was quite lucky at the time that I found out how I got HIV and what to do about it within 8 weeks of actually seroconverting, which is what happens when the antibodies attack the system.
Why is it so important to distinguish between heterosexual
and gay people? New Zealand now has an epidemic. Otago University released their statistics in March, the end of March this year of 2016, that there has been a climbing rate of more people who are contracting HIV than 1985, which I believe could be the fact that men are bi and women are bi and there's more sex around. And basically, no one's talking about HIV and AIDS because people are not dying from it as readily as they were in the 80s, so that's the reason. And a few people, friends of mine, have died from it in the last 2 or 3 years, and they're women, and that was because they were not given a HIV test, because most doctors say it's not for you.
So do you think because there are drugs available now and treatment, yeah, do you think that there's a complacency towards HIV?
Totally, absolutely, 100%.
And how damaging do you think this is for both women and men,
be honest? It's a climbing rate now. I mean, gay men are much more responsible in a way that they use condoms. We're the highest condom usage in the world, apparently. And gay men use condoms very readily. But the contractual people who don't know their HIV, who don't use condoms because they're not getting tests, because there's stigma against tests. So there's too much fear in getting a test. So
why is it important to get tested?
Because everyone's got to be responsible. It's like, you know, if you have sex with someone and you think you're pregnant, you go and get a pregnancy test. And it's the first thing you do. No one goes to the doctor. They go to Countdown, Pack and Save, New World, and go and get a pregnancy test to find out if they're pregnant. And if people are having unprotected sex, you know, there's so many STD problems now in New Zealand, in the world, that, to be honest, condoms have got to start getting sexy. And that's my campaign. I'm trying to make condoms sexy.
So do you think there's a stigma around
getting tested?
Huge. And that you know, it's fine to get tested for STDs, so we should be really, yeah, treating HIV like an STD?
Absolutely. And, you know, it blows me away that you go to your family planning and they don't offer you an HIV and a Hep C test or gonorrhea and a syphilis test. Why wouldn't you want to know? Or on a yearly basis, like a wellman's check when they go to the doctor, or women's. You know, we have breast screening and we have smears once a year or once every 2 years. Why are people not getting tested?
Harry Willis then spoke with Boniti Rangapā Tuku Wahu about an upcoming festival which looks to reduce the stigma surrounding HIV and AIDS.
You started this Pu'awai Festival in association, yeah, with Positive Women, New Zealand AIDS Foundation. This is, yep, your third year. Tell me a little bit about the history of this festival. Sort of, how did it start?
Yeah, okay, cool. That's a pretty cool introduction. It makes me sound like someone I'd like to meet.
That's you.
Initially what happened was I was approached by Mark Fisher, who is the director of Body Positive, and he wanted to look at what he could do to rally people together to change people's perspectives on what HIV is, raise awareness, educate, but also to look at how they could engage with their own community, and when I say their own community, people living with HIV, a little bit differently, with a sense of empowerment. And so he thought that using the arts would be a really good way to be able to do something like that without bashing people over the head, you know. So that kind of led in from one conversation. I went where they have a retreat every year, so I went to the retreat, did some workshops with people, and that kind of escalated into it becoming an idea for a festival. So we had a mini festival. My whānau have a theatre in New Lynn called Te Pau Theatre, and we as a whānau made the decision to gift a week of our time around World AIDS Day to the festival, and we looked at different types of performances, but we wanted to make sure that there was education involved in everything we did as well. So we used for instance, spoken word. We had a spoken word evening. Not everybody had lived experience. They didn't have HIV, but we kind of cultivated the evening so that it kind of had a theme around wearing an armor. How do we do that as, you know, as humans? Mm. So looking at the humanity side of what these connections are.
You're in your third year now. How has it been received? So, I mean, each year, is it getting more popular? Are you getting a lot more interest?
Yeah, man. Like, so the first year was... you know, it was really intimate. It was like nobody knew about it. It was really difficult to get people to understand what this thing was. Mm. And it really kind of brought it home that what Mark wanted to do was necessary, because in that first year, people were like, oh, I don't have HIV. What do I need to know about it? Mm. So the whole idea that education was necessary started to, you know, really be evident. And then the next year, because we'd done a thing, then we had, through the graces of a lot of artists who just gave their time, the second year grew into a place where people thought, oh, I really enjoyed the thing, I'll show it, share it to my friends. This year, we've grown, it's expensive compared to last year. Last year, we were in the Po Theatre for 5 days, and we had a different type of performance every night. This year, we're in 8 venues across Auckland. Mm. And so we've grown quite a large amount in 1 year.
In terms of HIV in New Zealand, what's the status of HIV? I mean, how it's I think transmissions are at the highest they've ever been.
Yeah, right. So I'm not an expert on all of the statistics. Mm. You know, it's been a huge education for me. Working with the foundations. I don't live with HIV, but I've had to learn as I go. And as you said, I believe it is the highest level that it has been in a very long time. And I think the idea of bringing this awareness is, how do I put it? I really think, for me, the awareness is really necessary, because I think we've got to a place where... it's almost becoming like the flu, because there's medication. People's approach to what it is completely different. You know, 20 years ago, it was fearful.
Yeah.
Because you could actually die from HIV, and that it's almost like a slight complacency. I can't put that out onto other people, but it seems to me there's a slight complacency because you can get medicated for it.
That was this week's Bits. To listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the Bcasts.
That was a 95bfm podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.